three offshore lines within the Nord Stream gas pipeline system sustained unprecedented damage in one day. That was according to pipeline operators on Tuesday. Nord Stream 1 and 2 run from Russia to Germany under the Baltic Sea near Sweden and Denmark. Denmark restricted shipping near Nord Stream 2 following the discovery of a leak. Shortly after, Sweden's maritime authority issued a warning of two leaks in Nord Stream 1. The pipeline operator said it was impossible to estimate when the system would be restored to full working capability. It has been a flashpoint in the escalating energy war between Europe and Moscow since Russia's invasion of Ukraine, which has sent gas prices soaring. Nord Stream 1 started supplying gas from Russia to Germany in 2011, but flows were halted entirely at the end of August. Nord Stream 2 was built in 2021, but Germany halted its launch days before Moscow invaded Ukraine on February the 24th. Giant Russian gas supplier Gazprom declined to comment on the latest incidents. The Kremlin said sabotage could not be ruled out.
Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. In this episode, I want to talk to you about what's going on with the Nord Stream pipelines. As you've just seen from the report, there's been reports of an explosion on both pipelines, and we've now got major gas leakages into the Baltic Sea. So the questions that I'm looking to address today are, is this sabotage? Has somebody deliberately planted explosives onto the Nord Stream pipelines? And if so, which country is behind these attacks? So in today's episode, we'll have a recap on the Nord Stream pipelines. We'll talk about what's been happening with regards to the gas supplies through those pipelines. I'll go into more detail as to what's actually happened with regards to these explosions and what the situation is right now. We'll talk through the theory of how these explosions may have occurred, who's behind them, and why they would want to do this. If the theory of Russia blowing up its own pipelines from within is to hold any water, then we need to work out exactly what merits there are from Russia's perspective. So we'll walk through some of the possible rationale. We'll then have a look at what the implications of this are for Europe with regards to their storage levels and the oncoming winter. And then finally today, I'll wrap up with my summary. So what I think has actually happened here, what the rationale behind all of these events is, and what the implications are for Europe and the global economy. So before we get started on all of that, as usual, I'm going to ask you for a thumbs up at some point during this video. Please subscribe if you haven't done so already. Don't forget, I always include chapters in these videos, so if you don't have time to watch the entire video, you can skip through stuff. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look below, where you'll find links to YouTube, Super Thanks and membership, as well as Buy Me a Coffee, Patreon and Amazon shopping links. The Nord Stream 1 pipeline stretches for 745 miles under the Baltic Sea from the Russian coast near St. Petersburg to northeastern Germany. It was constructed at a cost of $11 billion as a joint venture between Russia and Germany and opened in 2011. It can send a maximum of 170 million cubic meters of gas per day from Russia to Germany. Since it opened, the pipeline has been so successful and demand for gas has risen so much that a second pipeline, Nord Stream 2, was constructed alongside the pipeline. You can see on this graphic that it runs in exactly the same course. Nord Stream 2 was completed in November 2021. However, it has never opened and never become operational due to the fact that the USA was opposed to doubling down on the provision of gas from Russia to Germany on the basis that it would give Russia too much political leverage over the supply of gas to Europe. This graphic shows the amount of gas that's been transmitted through Nord Stream 1 every year since 2013. And you can see for the last 4 years, it's been operating at close to maximum capacity and providing around 59 billion cubic meters directly to Germany. The provision of natural gas to Europe has been one of the biggest political issues throughout the whole of the Ukraine war. Historically, Russia has been the largest supplier of natural gas to Europe, and Russia built significant amounts of infrastructure throughout Europe to supply gas in its natural form directly to a variety of countries. And the Nord Stream pipelines were the most ambitious and the most expensive of all of those pipelines. Now, one of the reasons that Europe became so dependent on natural gas is that it has better environmental qualities than coal for producing electricity. So in the past, everybody had coal-fired power stations, they burnt large amounts of coal, and this produced huge volumes of CO2 into the atmosphere, and this greenhouse gas resulted in global warming. So in an effort to reduce the amount of emissions and become more environmentally friendly, Europe moved to a cleaner form of electricity production by burning natural gas. So over the last 50 years, we have seen an explosion in the number of gas-fired power stations. And the fact that Russia had such large reserves and was able to send this in a low-cost form meant that it worked really well for everybody. But the situation started to change in 2014 when Russia invaded Crimea, which was previously part of Ukraine. And after calling a referendum, Russia officially annexed Crimea. So since 2014, Russia deems Crimea to be part of Russia. Now, this action resulted in a lot of political ramifications, and some sanctions were applied against Russia, but nowhere near as many as we're seeing right now. And questions started to be raised about Europe's dependence on Russia's energy supplies. However, over the last 8 years, very little progress was made in terms of reducing that dependence. But the issue became front and centre as soon as Russia invaded Ukraine. And Europe came out and stated that it no longer wanted to buy energy from Russia. But the problem that Europe had was that it needed those natural gas supplies to keep producing electricity. And also some countries send gas directly to consumers' homes for use in heating and cooking. So it couldn't actually cut off all of those purchases, because if it did so, it would mean that there would be wide-scale blackouts all across Europe. So Europe made statements that it wanted to stop buying Russian energy, but in the short term, it was unable to do so. And that's the situation that we've all been living with for the last 7 months. Now, in response to Europe's statements that it no longer wanted to buy from Russia, Russia came out and stated that everybody who wanted to buy gas had to pay in Russian rubles. And if you didn't pay in Russian rubles, your supply would be switched off immediately. And a number of countries came out and stated that they were not prepared to do this. And we saw Finland, Poland, Bulgaria, Denmark, and the Netherlands all have their supply switched off overnight. But two of the biggest economies in Europe, Germany and Italy, had such a high dependence that they were not able to walk away from those supplies. So they've carried on buying from Russia in the short term whilst they're filling up their storage capacity to try to get through the winter of 2022-23. Now, President Putin has been looking to maximise the political leverage, particularly over Germany, over the last few months. And from July onwards, we started to see issues occurring with the Nord Stream pipeline supplies. In July, the pipeline was closed for 10 days of maintenance, and it was reported that the flows to Germany fell to around 40% of their normal levels in July. Following the planned maintenance, Russia announced that it was unable to increase the supply of gas, due to the fact that a turbine which had been sent to Canada for refurbishment had not been returned to Russia due to the fact that the Canadian authorities had seized it under the sanctions. In addition to this, Russia announced that there was an oil leak within the pipeline and it would have to close the pipeline again. And this meant that the total amount of gas that was provided to Germany in August fell to around 20% of the maximum capacity. The second closure to repair the oil leak commenced at the end of August and the pipeline has not reopened since. So no gas whatsoever has been sent to Germany through the pipeline in September, and we've now got news of these explosions. So let's walk through the timeline of events for the leaks and explosions for the Nord Stream pipelines. On the evening of Monday, the 26th of September, Denmark issued a warning about a leak in the yet-to-be-opened Nord Stream 2 pipeline, which had been discovered by a Danish Defence F-16 fighter jet. Methane gas could be seen rising to the surface of the water in an area over 100 metres wide, and the Danish authorities declared a 5-mile exclusion zone as the area was dangerous to shipping. In response to this, Nord Stream 2's operator stated that the pressure in the pipeline had dropped from 105 bars to 7 bars. Following on from the reports of the leak in Nord Stream 2, two further leaks were reported for Nord Stream 1 on Tuesday, the 27th of September. The two pipes were damaged near the Danish island of Bornholm in the southern Baltic Sea. Sweden's National Seismology Centre said its stations recorded powerful subsea blasts in the area where the gas leaks occurred, the latter measuring the equivalent of a magnitude 2.3 earthquake. A senior seismologist stated that there was no doubt that these were explosions, and that the latter and the stronger of the two blasts was equivalent to 100 kilograms of dynamite. He went on to state, "We know very well what an underwater blast looks like, and there is no doubt that this is not an earthquake." Now, you may be sitting there thinking that Nord Stream 2 has never actually opened for business. It's not operational. So why is there any gas in the pipeline at all? Well, the pipeline was actually completed in November 2021 and went through all of its testing phases and was ready to become operational. And in order to go through the testing, you have to fill the pipe with gas. And as we've discussed before in the channel, the problem with extracting gas and oil from the ground is that you don't really have a lot of places to store it. So once the Russian authorities filled the pipeline with gas, they will have left that in place because they haven't got anywhere else to send it. It's difficult to extract it and then send it back down one of the other pipelines. So the Nord Stream 2 pipeline has been filled with gas for around the last 12 months. And this leak is now releasing all of that gas into the water and ultimately into the atmosphere. The Nord Stream pipeline has been operating for over 11 years, and there have been no major incidents like this at all over that time. So this is a very unusual set of circumstances. And Nord Stream AG, which is the German company that's in charge of the Nord Stream pipeline, issued a statement which said the destruction that occurred on the same day simultaneously on three strings of the offshore gas pipelines of the Nord Stream system is unprecedented. So it does seem very unusual that after 11 years of no significant problems, three major leaks occur all on the same day. Now, another thing that may not be entirely coincidental is that on Tuesday, the 27th of September, a ceremony was held to celebrate the opening of the Baltic Pipeline, which has been built to supply natural gas directly from Norway to Poland. So if this is foul play, the questions are, who's done it? How did they do it? And why did they do it? If we're talking theories of foul play, then the two obvious candidates are either Russia themselves in some sort of self-sabotage or the West looking to inflict more damage on Russian infrastructure. So let's talk about the West first, whether or not there is any merit in countries from the West blowing up the Nord Stream pipelines. Well, if we look at the evidence of what's been happening over the last few months, the Nord Stream pipelines have become redundant. Russia have switched off the supplies. There's been some excuses with regards to maintenance and parts and leaks, but fundamentally, the amount of gas that was being sent from Russia to Germany was reduced significantly, and for the whole of September, that supply has been switched off. And Europe has stipulated that they no longer want to buy that gas. They're looking to replace all of the natural gas that was coming from Russia with LNG from Qatar, the USA, Norway, anywhere that it can come from apart from Russia. So going forward, this pipeline, this infrastructure will be worthless because there is no way that Germany is going to reverse its decision. It's not going to suddenly say to Russia, yes, we would like to take 50 billion cubic meters of gas again at any point. So this infrastructure is a complete dead duck. It has zero worth. So in terms of the concept of the West deciding to go to the time and effort to bomb these pipelines seems a little bit pointless. There's no merit in it because it's not going to cause Russia any pain in terms of loss of revenue because that revenue has already stopped. It's gone. Finito. And when you're dealing with trying to sabotage a pipeline that's buried underneath the ocean, it's quite difficult to get away with that without anybody spotting you because we have full satellite coverage now of all of the oceans. So if there were any planes or ships that were sent to do this mission, it would be picked up. People would be able to see those planes and ships moving across that area within that time frame. So very difficult to get away with it. The only way that you could do it would be to send some sort of submarine mission down across the bottom of the ocean, which is going to be expensive and would need to involve a lot of military assistance. So it does seem quite far-fetched to think that the West would do this because there's no real upside in doing it. It's going to take a lot of coordinated effort and cost, and the likelihood is that somebody would be able to find out who did this at some point in the future. So if we discount that concept, the only real other option is that Russia has done this themselves. Now, before we go into the whys and wherefores, let's talk about the practicalities of how they would have done this. Because the discoverability is exactly the same if it's Russian ships or planes. Somebody would pick up the satellite imagery. So the only real way of doing this without being discovered would be to send a robot down the pipeline with explosives on it and then to detonate those explosives at the appropriate point. And if you know anything about pipeline technology, you'll know that there's something referred to as PIGs. And these are robots that are designed to move backwards and forwards within pipelines, usually for maintenance purposes and to fix repairs from within. So the technology exists. Any pipeline operator will use pigs on a regular basis for general maintenance purposes. So the Nord Stream pipelines do have this capability. So it would be relatively straightforward if you wanted to create an explosion to put some explosives onto those pigs, send them down the pipe, and then detonate them as and when you wanted to. So that concept would actually enable Russia to have been able to set up these explosions without being detected. But the big question is, why would they want to do that? Why would they blow up their own infrastructure? Something that costs tens of billions of dollars to put into place. Why would Russia destroy that? And I guess the initial answer to that is the flip side of what we've just discussed. This infrastructure is redundant. It won't be used in the future. There is no way that the West is going to reverse its decision to sanction Russia. So there's no real future benefit for these pipelines to Russia. And from a political perspective, blowing up these pipelines is a convenient way of Russia being able to officially cancel all of this gas supply, because there's been a lot of political debate about Russia threatening to switch off the supplies, Germany saying they don't want to keep taking it, but they need the supplies, so therefore they will keep buying it. So there's been a lot of to-ing and fro-ing. And by damaging the pipeline, it draws a line under that discussion without Russia actually switching off the supplies. So Russia can claim that this was a naturally occurring event, that after 11 years of perfect operation, Nord Stream 1 suddenly sprung two leaks on the same day. And that gives them a way out of that contract supply without formally switching off all of the supplies to Germany. So from a political perspective, it's more acceptable because they haven't actually come out and stated we're no longer going to sell any more gas to Germany. But from a practical point of view, they don't have any way of actually delivering that gas. And in terms of the overall perspective, it puts more political pressure onto Germany and Europe because they're now needing to find those gas supplies from somewhere else to keep the electricity and the gas flowing to consumers' houses. So by doing this, Russia is increasing the amount of cost that Germany's having to incur and also increasing the chaos and the potential problems that may start occurring over the winter period if countries like Germany do start running short of natural gas. Now, there are also two other theories as to why Russia may have sabotaged these pipes. The first relates to the contract between Gazprom and Germany, and the second relates to the technology sanctions. So if we talk about Gazprom first, Gazprom has a contractual agreement with Germany to supply a certain amount of gas, and Germany is still paying for all of this gas. So under that contract, Gazprom would actually be in breach if they stop sending gas to Germany. Now, they've been using various excuses about the turbine and the oil leak and maintenance to explain why the gas supplies have reduced. But overall, if Germany is not supplied with gas, it could potentially sue Gazprom for breach of contract. And that process could then go through the courts, and Gazprom may be required to pay tens of billions of dollars of compensation to Germany. But these explosions now give Gazprom the option of calling force majeure and saying, we're no longer able to be able to deliver all of that gas to you because the pipelines have been damaged, and therefore it's impossible to deliver on our contractual obligation. So this could give Gazprom a legal out if Germany decided to sue the company. The other potential theory is that Russia could use this as an excuse to ask for the technology sanctions applied against it to be lifted. If these gas pipelines are going to be repaired, it's going to take a lot of technical expertise. To be able to do this underneath the Baltic Sea during the winter period is going to be very challenging. That water is very cold, and we're talking about pipes that have been buried deep under the water. So there'd need to be a lot of specialist technology involved in those repairs. And Russia does not have access to all of that technology now. If you follow the channel, you'll be fully aware that the technology sanctions are one of the biggest problems facing Russia. So it is theoretically possible that Russia could come out and say, yes, we'll repair these pipelines immediately. However, we need all of this technology to be sent to us immediately in order to do that. And they could theoretically then use that technology for other purposes. So this could be a way of bypassing the sanctions in order to get the technology that Russia is lacking. And one final theory that I wanted to run past you is a concept that Germany have been discussing recently of using some of the Nord Stream pipelines to set up offshore liquefied natural gas regasification plants. So essentially what Germany were talking about was cutting the Nord Stream pipelines setting up floating facilities, and those floating facilities then bolting on to the portion of the pipeline that goes into Germany and being able to have its own supply chain off-sea. And in order to do that, they would obviously needed to have cut those pipelines, which meant that Russia would no longer have been able to supply any gas anyway. And by blowing up these portions of the pipeline, there is a theory that Russia has done this to stop Germany from being able to utilise that section of the pipeline. Now that these pipelines have been damaged, there will be no further gas supplies throughout the whole of this winter. And that opens up the question as to what's going on with regards to all of the European countries. Do they have enough gas in storage to be able to get through this winter period? Because that's the key challenge. If countries run out of natural gas and they can't find sufficient replacements, then that then potentially means that we could start seeing blackouts in Europe because the power stations won't be able to operate and therefore we won't have enough electricity. And also some of the homes that are supplied directly with gas won't have any means of heating or cooking. Now, this is something that's been on the agenda for a long time. Immediately after Russia's invasion of Ukraine, the EU came out and advised all of its member nations that they needed to ensure that their storage capacity was 80% full by November in order to make sure that they had enough gas to get them through the winter period in the event that Russia did switch off all of the supplies. And this graphic shows the current status of storage levels for all European countries. The four biggest economies are France, Germany, Italy, and the Netherlands. And all four of these countries have now got more than 90% storage. And in terms of the potential risk of blackouts, the two countries with the biggest single exposure to Russian supplies are Germany and Italy. And it's estimated that both countries will now have enough gas to see them through to at least March, even if they were unable to source any gas from alternative options. And this graphic shows the 14 next largest countries in the EU, and you can see that the storage levels are extremely healthy for most countries on this chart. And it's really interesting to note that Poland, which was one of the first countries that had its supply cut off by Russia for refusing to pay in rubles, and also who had a big exposure to Russian supplies, is now up to 98% storage, so is in a very healthy position. The countries that still have concerns about their supplies include Austria, which historically have been 100% dependent on Russian supplies. Storage levels are now up to 78% in Austria. Bulgaria, which was also switched off at the same time as Poland, which is at 74%, and Hungary have actually been given an exemption by the EU to continue taking supplies because it's very difficult for them to be able to put alternative arrangements in place. They're at 72%. So the overall situation for the EU is that storage levels are now 88% full, which is a very healthy situation compared to where all these storage facilities were at the start of the Ukraine war. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, I wanted to post this video because I think we're starting to see this war spill out into other areas of the world. Up until now, the actual fighting and the acts of terrorism have been contained just to the Ukraine area. But now we're starting to see incidents happening outside of that zone. And when you look at the facts surrounding the leaks on the Nord Stream pipelines, it seems extremely unlikely that after 11 years of having no operational problems, three explosions occur within a short space of time at a point in time when these pipelines are a focal point of the political agenda. So I think realistically, these are man-made explosions. Somebody has detonated devices on these pipelines to cause some damage. So the big question is, who was it? Was it Russia or was it the West who is behind these explosions? Now, as part of these videos, I try to remain balanced and impartial. But when you look at the pros and cons as to why you would want to do this, and you look at the practicalities of how you're going to actually effect the explosions, then the most probable conclusion is that this was orchestrated by Russia, because there's no real upside for the West doing this. In all likelihood, Germany was not going to receive any more gas through the Nord Stream pipelines. And by causing major damage to the pipelines, it's a convenient way of Russia being able to exit from those supply arrangements without facing any penalties or any accusations that it's forcing Europe into a blackout and a cold winter. So overall, I think it's likely that Russia is behind this action. But the question really is, what's the implications of all of this for Russia and the global economy? Well, I've discussed it before, but from Russia's perspective, they are losing a massive amount of revenue. So the reason that they built all of these pipelines over the last 20 years was because they've got massive amounts of natural gas and they wanted to sell it to all of the countries to make lots of money. And that's what they've been doing over the last 20 years. And the reason that everybody's been buying it is because it's cheap. It's the cheapest form of sending gas, because you can literally set up a pipeline directly on the gas fields and then send it straight through to all of the users. So in the past, this arrangement has been win-win for both sides, but it's been mostly a win for Russia because they've been making an absolute fortune. Now, the sanctions that have been applied against Russia means that they have had a massive hit in terms of their revenue from gas, and they're now having to look to new markets. And the problem that you've got with gas is that if you can't build a pipeline, you have to cool it to the point where it becomes a liquid, and then you can send it on ships over the seas. But Russia only has a limited amount of capacity to be able to do that. 95% of all of the gas that it sold in 2021 was in its natural gaseous form. So only 5% was liquefied. So it's impossible for Russia to be able to convert that other 95% that it's losing all of the sales on into liquefied natural gas, because it just doesn't have the capacity to do so. And in order to build that capacity, Russia is going to need tens, if not hundreds, of billions of dollars to build all of these facilities. And the challenge for Russia's point of view is multiple, because they don't have access to the technology because they've got the sanctions. They don't have access to the expertise because a lot of companies have walked away from Russia. So we've seen Shell and BP, ExxonMobil have all decided to close their operations. And they don't have the money to be able to invest to build these new facilities. And even if they did, it would take them a long period of time. We are talking years to be able to put all of this infrastructure into place. So over the next 6, 12, 18, 24 months, Russia is going to lose all of the revenue that it's been raking in for the sale of natural gas, because it's impossible to be able to replace those sales with other countries. So the whole situation is a complete disaster from Russia's point of view. Now, in terms of the impact on the European economy, there's also going to be some damage, because there are alternative ways of getting gas. Norway has recently completed the Baltic pipeline and is looking to put more pipelines in place. And there's also liquefied natural gas options. And we know that Germany and Italy and the Netherlands are setting up liquefied natural gas floating facilities in order to convert that liquefied natural gas back to gas and then feed it into their pipelines. So all of it's achievable, but the downside on everything is that it's going to cost a lot more money. The reason they were buying from Russia is because it was cheap. They're having to now buy more expensive options. And this is going to feed through into the price of everything, because that gas is being used not just for heating and cooking, but to produce electricity. And the cost of electricity is a source cost for most businesses. So this change is going to drive inflation further all across Europe, and it's going to be long-lasting inflation, because this isn't something that's just a short-term spike and we'll see prices coming back down in 2 or 3 months' time. This is a long-term change to the infrastructure, which is going to cost more forever for all of these countries. So we're seeing a step change in terms of the cost of energy for the whole of Europe. So that's likely to drive up prices. That will put more pressure on the European economy. A lot of economies are on the brink of recession anyway, so it will force some of these countries to go into recession, if not the whole of Europe going into recession. And as I've discussed before, the whole world is interconnected. A lot of the big economies in the world are in Europe. So if those economies contract, that means they buy less from the rest of the world. That means that all of those countries who are exporting receive less revenue. Their economies contract, and therefore they move closer to recession as well. So this move could very well trigger a worldwide global recession. It may well start in Europe, but I think it will permeate quickly all across the world. So by 2023, I think the world is going to be in a really difficult financial situation. So hopefully you've enjoyed today's video. You found it interesting, educational, and thought-provoking. If you've liked what I've said, then please give me that thumbs up. And don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already.